Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer. Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer.
Welcome, everyone, to Showtime Radio Time. I am Sweet's Rascally Rabbits, broadcasting to you live in your sweet, beautiful ears, no matter how ugly you think they are. And I am hungry. Hopefully thankfully I can remedy that, but after the show. Okay, so for those of you tuning in, thank you for tuning in, by the way. This is how bad I am at live broadcasting. Okay. Today we are reading more of The Royal Conspiracy. I love this book, and I'm really glad I'm reading it to you all. If you have not been listening to my book reading of this, of The Royal Conspiracy, then I suppose I could try to give you a quick recap. I can't really talk long because according to my calculations, I actually need to start in like, all right, well, I guess I could talk a little bit. But I can't really talk about what's been going on in my life lately if I'm going to be giving you guys this whole recap of the entire book that's been going on. So, well, I mean, I guess I could say a few, like one thing probably. But I don't really have any news except for YouTube is being a real douche. Every time I try to upload something, it's telling me it's going to take more than 2 hours, which makes no sense because all my videos are at least 25 minutes to 13 minutes. It doesn't make sense. Actually, the one that I'm uploading tonight for my main channel, BS Bronze at 2 for 3, it actually took, I started the upload last night like around 11 o'clock, and it didn't finish until like an hour before this show, before me talking to you now. It took that long for it to upload a 27-minute video in HD. It should not take that long. Anyways, all right, let's get to the book. The book I'm reading is called The Royal Conspiracy. The Prince and the Pauper films, both teenage and adult films. The story tells of two smart women. The adopted heiress learned to survive. The princess had a fashion designer for a father figure. Though they led separate lives in different worlds, the two held so much in common, and they've grown their lives apart. But, you know, as the description says, fate decreed they wouldn't. So what really happened, I guess, as a quick recap, what really happened is that the heiress, Tanaski, is hired by a fashion designer, which happens to be the princess's father role model, the father figure. And so he realizes that Tanaski looks exactly like the princess. And little did he know, though, that during Tanaski's, you know, daily walk in the market, she bumps into the princess, who was wearing her, you know, casual cloak to keep her hidden from public sight. They bump into each other, they find each other, and somewhere along in the book, Moira, the princess, she decides to switch places. And which she doesn't really... They actually do agree to switch, and they switch under Mr. Thomason's nose. Above Mr. Thomason's nose. Mr. Thomason is a fashion designer, by the way. And so they tell each other of, like, while he's still while he's still passed out on the ground, you know, after he realized those two have already met before, the two quiz each other a lot in, like, the 10 minutes they have while he's passed out on the floor. And that's actually kind of where actually, no, it's not. She, actually, wait, I think it, no, is it? No. Where is my mouse? There it is. Okay. And then she, it's funny because Tanaski, she actually tells the princess about her dad, who her adopted father, sorry, that he actually knows a lot about herbal medicines and that he might know something about the illness that the queen has. No doctor has been able to figure out what illness the queen has. And so Moira talks to her mom about that, and good grief. Where am I? Where? Bum, 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 bum. Let's see. We are back. Okay. When Tanaski returns to... Or not, sorry. Oh, that's right, right. That's right. I forgot. Moira and her mom actually do talk for a while. We get to see them talk to each other before the switch, and they discuss about the royal gold mines. The royal gold mines is losing money. They don't know what to do, and her mom tells her that she needs to marry, which kind of influences of her idea to switch places. And so after they switch places, Moira finds a secret part of Mr. Thomason's house, which he didn't know about at all. It's pretty surprising. So, hang on. Let me check how much time I have left. Ooh, I need to hurry that up. As if I haven't already. Anyways, so after the switch, oh, that's right. I already talked about the hidden room. And, of course, the princess thinks that hidden room might be useful. But they don't know, she doesn't know, like, how it would be useful. And let's see, we switch back to Tanaski. That's right. I switch it back to Tanaski, and she gets to speak to the queen, the princess's mother. Queen. And he gets so shocked that he ends up leaving the room. And she follows him and reasons with him because he already knew that she wasn't the princess. He knew that she was Tanaski. And so she had to explain to him what happened and why they're doing it. Well, she sort of knows why they're doing it. And I actually have to start reading now because that actually is where we stopped, though. So I'm, wait, what? My calculations are telling me, okay, never mind. And so we really stopped where she's explaining everything to him, and she's begging him not to tell anyone, especially the princess, because she honestly doesn't know how the princess is going to react when she finds out. And I'm going to go ahead and start right there. Please, Dad, will you promise not to tell anyone? It stayed silent for a while.
This is a bad idea, he said.
Originally, I had an accent for her dad, but I'm not going to do any more because there are so many accents in this for these characters.
This is a bad idea, he said. You're right, though.
He rolled his eyes.
I hope you know what you are doing.
Believe me, I hope so, too, she whispered.
Her father then turned to leave.
Let me pass. I must see her, Rabia cried.
Tanaski sighed. She heard the nursemaid trying to come in. As much as it pained her to admit, she didn't know how to speak with the palace workers, other than the time she heard Mosey speak to Rabia. Tanaski shook her head. She walked to the guards and to the nursemaid.
Moira, tell them to let me pass.
It is okay, guards. I am leaving the throne room.
She looked at Rabia.
What is it, Rabia?
Mosey, you have lessons to finish. You are behind, and behind in schedule. You need to practice.
Excuse me, Rabia, but I promised Mother I would come when I finished talking to Mr. McAllister. Please, walk with me. She walked to the queen's room with the nursemaid walking on her left side.
Who's Mr. McAllister?
Do you remember the woman you saw this afternoon?
Do I remember? Of course I do,
she hissed with fury.
If I see her again, I'm going to... Oh, I don't know what I will do.
With panic and a silent gulp, she did not reply. Tanaski did not reply, sorry. She recommended her father to help with mother's health. I intruded on their conversation. He rushed out once he saw me.
Oh, I bet he was startled to see you look exactly...
Flavia, do think knowledgeably. There are guards everywhere. Do you realize what could happen if everyone knew? A generation identity roaming in this kingdom would be helpful in case of an emergency.
What sort of emergency would use her?
Why, what if I fell ill? Worse than mother. My people need to be assured that everything is well.
She knocked on the queen's bedroom door.
Do come in,
she announced. Tanaski and the nursemaid walked in.
Ah, a gracious entrance with Flavia. Did you speak with Teter, my Moira?
I did, mother.
Why did he rush out? I'm quite curious.
I reminded of his daughter. Do not worry, mother. I settled the matter with him,
she said with a smile. She waited for the queen's response. She stood next to the bed.
That is good, my Moira. That is what makes you a future queen. Soon you will take my place.
She smiled with all her strength.
At this moment, I am proud of who you have become.
Oh boy, if only she knew,
Tanaski thought.
Flavia, how is she with her lessons?
She is doing well, Your Majesty. She is doing well, Your Majesty. Several areas rise with pride. She could improve more on algebra and music.
Finally, something I'm good in,
the heiress thought.
Really, my Moira, how could you have trouble with music? Your father and I came from talented families.
She sighed with trembling hands. Tedeschi came closer to her. She kneeled toward the queen's bed.
I will do better. I promise, mother.
Be certain to work on your speech for next Thursday. I want to hear your passion in it.
Tanaski nodded.
I'll fit you now. I am certain you have lessons to complete.
I do. Thank you, Mother. I do hope Mr. McAllister's medicine helps.
The queen nodded with a small smile. She rested her head on a pillow. Flavia and the so-called princess left her bedroom as quietly as they could. The nursemaid eyed Tanaski.
You hesitated on Mr. McAllister's name, you know.
Her brows narrowed in suspicion.
There's something different about you, Moosey.
What could you possibly mean? I am the same as ever.
No, there is. You did not ask the queen if she was comfortable. You are always worried about her. She is your mother, Moosey.
She shook her head.
I do not understand.
You are smarter than me, Flavia. I know you will solve it soon,
she said with a small smile.
I only hope it will be after we switch back,
she thought. They arrived at Moira's bedroom not long after. Tanaski was impressed. The room looked very spacious and grand. She saw a desk standing next to a vanity chest. The walk-in closet seemed not that far from her bed. She even had a bathroom about 10 paces opposite of her bed. As the nursemaid turned to her, she had to hide her look of admiration quickly.
Now, Your Highness, let us finish your music lessons. I believe you are playing a piece on the harpsichord.
She walked to what looked like a piano. Tanaski did not notice that before. It blended with the wallpaper it was against. Flavia pulled a booklet from inside the stool. She opened it to a certain page and placed it on a stand that stood atop the harpsichord. Tanaski sat down. She stared at the keys. She knew there were varied pianos, but she had played one type for her entire life.
The heiress sighed and then pressed a key. It gave an odd tune she never heard before. She recognized the notes, though. In her mind, she visualized her old piano, placing those notes across the harpsichord. She looked at the booklet. The piece she had to play seemed familiar. She then played the harpsichord. At first, her fingers slowly moved across the keys. Tanaski soon realized why it sounded familiar. Her parents used to sing the song to her before they died. She didn't need the booklet after a certain point. With that, she sang the song. Her voice was beautiful, soft, and harmonious. Ravia's eyes widened with surprise. She didn't realize the princess knew the words. The booklet didn't have them for the piece.
Mosey, how did you learn the song so quickly?
Oh, the heiress became startled that she stopped playing. She thought quickly.
The woman I met today, Tanaski, she taught me a few things when you bought my cider.
I still cannot believe there is an identical woman to you. Do you think it is possible you two are related?
I do not know. She did say her parents died when she was 5.
She paused for a brief moment.
I do not want to talk about it more.
Tanaski flipped the pages to the next piece. She played it, vocalizing along with the tune. After she finished playing, she looked out one of the many windows in her room. Her eyes drooped when she saw the sun setting. The red, orange, and purple hues blended perfectly over the horizon.
Should we work on your speech, Mosey?
She didn't see the tired eyes Tanaski had. She wanted to get things done. The princess was behind schedule on quite a bit of tasks.
I would rather not. I am tired. I want to sleep.
She stood as careful as possible. Without a word, she opened the doors to Moira's walk-in closet. She turned a light on and closed the doors to change into a nightgown.
I understand. You had an exciting day. Sleep well, Your Highness.
She curtsied after Tanaski exited the closet. As she left the bedroom, Ravia sighed. For a moment, the heiress looked at the bed. It looked so comfy and plush. She pulled back a cover before getting in. Tanaski crawled her body underneath the blankets she had.
Goodness, this feels amazing,
she whispered. Her head plopped on a pillow.
Oh, this is perfect,
she mumbled. Already, she was drifting off to sleep. When Tanaski played her first harpsichord piece, Princess Moira walked to Tanaski's home. She wanted to speak with Teacher before going to bed. She knew that he spoke with her mother. He might have news. Mosey found him in one of the conference rooms talking to a woman. She knocked on the door frame before intruding. Teacher looked in her direction. The princess saw him sigh.
Tanaski, what are you doing here?
Oh, that's right, he doesn't have an accent.
Tanaski, what are you doing here? I thought you were staying at Mr. Thomason's while he needed you.
He came to her to give a hug.
How is everything over there?
It couldn't get better. Everything is great,
she said with a smile.
You wouldn't believe who I met today. Princess Moira, and she looks exactly like me.
Her eyes grew with excitement.
How is that possible? He asked with a shock.
I don't know, Top.
She heard him gulp. She eyed Teacher suspiciously.
Are you okay, Dad?
I'm fine. Tanaski, I have a lot going on in my mind.
Oh, I didn't mean to intrude. Do you need to finish your conversation with her?
She looked at the woman, nodding a hello to her. The woman did the same.
It's okay.
He turned to her.
We can talk later, right?
Of course, Ned Tope. I will wait patiently.
She walked toward the door.
I'll see you again, Tani Tope.
It was quiet as the woman left. Mosey and Teacher stared at each other for a few moments. It had gone to awkward silence. Despite being a chief king,
Teacher grew nervous to break the silence. The princess did that for him.
So, how is the queen?
Oh, I meant to talk to you about that. He cleared his throat. I could see why licensed doctors didn't understand what it was. It turned out to be some sort of sickness I've seen out in the desert. Desert. You wouldn't remember, though, because I didn't allow you to be in a health tent. Unless you fell ill, I mean. I was able to bring enough herbs and remedies beforehand. Her spirits should be leveled off in the next 2 days.
Thank the stars. I'm glad she'll be okay.
Now, Tanaski, you weren't worried, were you? He teased with a smirk.
Of course not.
She smiled.
You're an amazing healer, Dad.
He wrapped an arm around her while they walked out of the conference room.
So, nothing has crumbled while I was gone?
Everything is fine. As long as you bring home most of what you earn from your job, we will be able to make it. Teacher paused. You do remember what I told you this morning, right? Mosey nodded. He cleared his throat to get rid of a nervous tickle. He didn't realize how skilled the princess was at, well, not being royal. Teacher had to notice, though, that Tanaski told her everything. That he didn't like.
I do, and of course I will.
She stared blankly ahead.
Not everyone has money to spend.
Hang on.
Oh,
excuse me, sorry. She couldn't stop thinking of what she saw in the market that day as a civilian. Her family minds came up in her thoughts. There had to be something she could do.
Tanaski, is everything okay?
He put a hand on her other shoulder.
Tanaski?
Mosey gasped and looked at him.
Are you okay?
I am fine. I was just thinking of someone.
Of oh, whom?
He wondered, somehow thinking she meant a boy.
No one in particular that popped up.
The princess walked with an absent mind, causing her to bump into a charming man. She backed up a bit.
Oof, sorry. I didn't mean...
She saw his hazel eyes.
You're Tanaski, right?
He smiled.
Hey,
she said with a sheepish smile.
Tanaski, this is Paolo from the Koro tribe.
He walked up to him.
Is everything okay, Your Highness?
Paolo looked at him. He shook his head out of thought. He then sighed.
You're a prince.
Mosey wondered, cocking her head to the side. He didn't hear Paolo. He didn't hear. Paolo was thinking, trying to figure out what to say to the Keef.
I've tried to contact you for years, Mr. McAllister. Why would I come to you if everything is well?
He rolled his eyes.
My tribe needs to import something, but the queen won't allow it. I am requesting you to help us bring them in.
What is it you're trying to import? He watched the prince pull something out of a pocket. It seemed to be a silver-white metal coin with someone's face on it. The metal didn't have any shine, nor did it show reflections.
It's the new currency in the country. We want to make some before we present it to Queen Veronica.
Teacher was unsure of what the young prince said. In fact, he noticed a few flaws about it. He rubbed his chin while he thought. Mosey watched Teacher as he spoke.
You're missing something, though. If you want to present the new currency to the royal family, you should have originals, not makeshift copies. Also, I do not believe you should be the one to tell them about the new currency.
He crossed his arms.
If anyone should do it, it should be the leader of our country. And since he doesn't seem to care about this kingdom, it doesn't look like we'll get them, will we?
The princess grew curious as she eyed the platinum coin. She tried to get a closer look. Paolo saw her attempt to and put the coin away. He then looked at the Keef.
Maybe talk in private. I'd feel better if no one was listening to this.
And let me check how much time is left. I actually have some time left. All right, I think I'm going to read one more paragraph and then end it there.
May we talk in private? I'd feel better if no one was listening to this.
There is no need. She is my daughter and heir. She has a right to know what goes on in our family tribe.
The prince scoffed. She is not your daughter. She does not resemble you one bit.
Hearing his voice raise, some of the tribe people came out certain rooms. They wanted to know what was going on. And that is actually where I stop. Wow. Good grief. That is incredible. That is incredible. And my stomach is crying out for food. I can't take it anymore.
All right, so that is actually it for me. That is it for today. I hope you all have there is one thing I want to say. I'm going to stop uploading Stardew Valley pretty soon, just because I'm hardly getting any views on that. But I already have a game in mind of what I'm going to upload next. But I actually do have to go now. So I hope you all have a great morning, afternoon, evening, or night, wherever you are in the world. I am Sweet Rascally Rabbit saying goodbye with, shoot, I forgot, Who's That Girl by Hilary Duff. Bye, everyone.